friends. I think everybody knows quite well that at present we're engaged in the study of what we've come to call the higher evolution. And I'm sure that it's also appreciated that we're studying this vastly important subject, not in the abstract, not just in very general terms, but very much in the concrete, very much in particular terms. We're studying not just the higher evolution of man, but even the higher evolution of the individual. And this process, this whole process of the higher evolution of the individual, is something very difficult, something very arduous, something involving a great deal of effort, a great deal of determination, even a great deal of strain, even, we may say, a measure at least of suffering. We may even go so far as to say that this particular type of effort, this particular kind of development, this higher evolution, is by far the most difficult thing that any human being, any man or woman, could possibly attempt. But even as it is the most difficult, the most arduous, it is also the most worthwhile. And being difficult, being arduous, being something that demands, we may say, everything that we have got, involving as it does every aspect of our nature, involving as it does a great deal of self-understanding, self-knowledge, a great deal of coming to terms with ourself in various ways, we also find that in the course of this higher evolution of the individual, all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of problems even, arise. Problems that demand to be resolved if further progress is to be made. And it's some of these problems, not just ordinary problems, ordinary difficulties, pressing as these sometimes are, but problems arising directly out of the higher evolution, directly out of our effort to evolve and to grow, that we shall be considering, or at least we shall be considering some of the more important of them in this course. Now, last week's lecture was the first of the whole series. So last week we didn't explore any specific problem. Last week we were more concerned with laying the general, we may say, theoretical foundations for the whole course, concerned with coming to understand certain principles which would be applied in different ways, in different fields, week by week throughout the course. And we began by reminding ourselves very briefly of some of the things that we learned last year when we considered the higher evolution of man. We reminded ourselves, you may remember, about the universality of the great principle of evolution. We reminded ourselves of the nature of the distinction, a distinction absolutely fundamental for this whole course, between the lower evolution on the one hand and the higher evolution on the other. We saw again that the lower evolution is collective, whereas the higher evolution is individual, concerning the individual and his individual effort. Now, last week we were mainly concerned with the question of how consciousness evolves. And this was indeed the title of the lecture. And we were concerned with this question of the evolution or development of consciousness because the higher evolution of man, the higher evolution of the individual, consists essentially in an evolution of consciousness. So we saw last week that, broadly speaking, there are four different levels, four different degrees or grades of consciousness. And very briefly, these are simple consciousness or sense consciousness, that is to say, awareness of sensations experienced through the sense organs as a result of contact with the external world. And this type of consciousness we, of course, share with the animals. And then secondly, self-consciousness, which we also called subjective consciousness. Here, one is not just aware, one is aware that one is aware. One not only experiences sensations, feelings, emotions, and thoughts, and volitions, but is conscious of oneself as experiencing them. So this form of consciousness, self-consciousness, we do not share with the animals. This is distinctively human. And we are, in fact, only human to the extent to which this form of consciousness, self-consciousness, has been developed in us. Thirdly, transcendental consciousness, or what we also call objective consciousness, and this consists in the awareness of a higher spiritual reality, a reality which embraces both oneself and the whole of conditioned existence, the whole world. This higher spiritual reality is not in itself an object, but at this stage of our evolution, by means of this type of consciousness, transcendental consciousness, we experience it as an object. But in itself, it transcends the subject-object distinction. Sometimes we also saw this kind of consciousness, this transcendental consciousness, is experienced as a sort of flash of insight that momentarily lights up, illuminates the whole of existence. And fourthly and lastly, absolute consciousness or universal consciousness, which is altogether beyond our present understanding, so that there's no point in saying anything at all about it. It's sufficient to indicate its existence as what we cannot but think of as the culmination of the entire process of the higher evolution. Now, having enumerated these four levels or degrees of awareness or consciousness, the simple consciousness, the self-consciousness, transcendental consciousness, and absolute consciousness, we went on to see that simple consciousness belongs to the lower evolution, whereas transcendental consciousness and absolute consciousness belonged to the higher evolution. And self-consciousness, we saw, the second degree or second level of consciousness, comes somewhere in between. Self-consciousness is the culmination of the lower evolution and the inauguration of the higher evolution, a sort of watershed between these two great divisions. We also saw last week, just to finish the recapitulation, we saw that the individual, in the course of his development, recapitulates the evolution, the development of the race to which he belongs. But we also saw that this principle applies only so far as the lower evolution is concerned. So far as the higher evolution is concerned, we are on our own. The lower evolution takes us so far and then leaves us there, deposits us there to struggle on our own, by means of our own efforts. So further development, further evolution, depends not on nature, not on nurture even, it depends on us, depends on our own individual effort. So we concluded by seeing, by understanding, that the immediate task before us, the immediate task before not just man, but the individual man, is to develop present, rudimentary self-consciousness to perfection, as well as to develop at least the beginnings of transcendental consciousness. And only if we are doing this, or at least trying to do this, perfecting our self-consciousness, beginning to develop our transcendental consciousness, only if we're engaged in this sort of effort, in this sort of work, can we be said to be leading truly human lives. So much then for last week's lecture and some of the main points touched upon therein. Not that in proceeding to this week's lecture we leave last week's lecture and its subject matter behind. Not that we can afford to forget what we learned last week. The theoretical principles that we studied last week are like, we may say, the foundation of a building. And however high we may build, however many stones we may pile one on another, the foundation remains there all along.